Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
He is just an obsessive goal scorer.
They have to understand I chose to stay in my country because I'm French.
And the Bernabeu blinks it back.
I haven't got a problem with soccer, to be fair.
Football.
What I can guarantee to you is that they want to keep everything secret.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to House of Champions. Great to be back with you. We're coming at you with our second part of our World Cup group stage preview. We're going to be looking at groups E through F today. And remember to smash like and subscribe. And you can get all of your House of Champions goodness here with us every day during the tournament. Well, let's get straight to it. I'm delighted to say that I'm joined by Mike Lahoud and Nigel Riococca. Mike, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm rested. I'm recharged. I'm ready to go.
That's great to know. Nigel, how are you doing?
I'm great, mate. Honestly, still surreal to believe the World Cup starts next week, but it's getting more and more excitement about it.
Well, it's definitely real now because we've had the Nike advert drop. So that means, you know, if that doesn't get you in the World Cup spirit, then what is going to? So now I know that our producer Des is very keen that we get straight into all of the action. But we've got a couple of updates for you before we start looking at the groups. And unfortunately, it is injury related once again. I think the big headline, obviously, being Christopher Nkunku, unfortunately, getting injured in the final training session with France before they headed off to Qatar. He's been replaced in Les Bleus and their group with Randall Colomwani. And then you've also got Sadio Mane, who has officially been ruled out of at least the opening game for Senegal against the Netherlands. Now, let's go with Nkunku first, guys. Mike, I'm going to come to you first. Nkunku, how big a loss is he for the French? I mean, we know that our colleague Ian raves about him all the time and his performances for RB Leipzig. We've seen it as well up close in the Champions League as well. He's not a fixture in the starting 11 for the French yet, but still, to have to rule him out of the roster, that is a significant blow.
I'm going to join Ian because I think a couple episodes ago I said he was the best player right now in the German Bundesliga. That's including Leroy Sané and the form that he was in. Massive loss for the French national team because Antoine Griezmann, he's going to be the starter for the French national team. A player not in form right now. If his form went down, which I predicted it probably would, and Nkunku would step up. Depth in this French team is something that they're heralded about. And to have a player who's in the form of his life right now, I'm gutted for him. And I'm gutted for the bigger picture outside this World Cup, a player who was probably tipped for a massive move in the European market.
Yeah, I'll have to agree with Mike there. I think for me, the biggest thing about it is he's an unknown entity in the international stage. And I think he could have then been a bit of a secret weapon for France. He is part of that future generation. And as Mike stated, I think he's on fantastic form. And it's players like that that really need to go into this World Cup because, again, there isn't a lot of time from now to when the World Cup starts and you pretty much expect him to carry the same form he's been showing in the Bundesliga into this World Cup. So it is a big, big loss for France and I think they had high hopes and I think we probably would have seen him a lot more than we would have expected because his form is really fantastic right now and it's the surprise element. It's just a shame.
Yeah, and on Mane and Senegal, I mean, we've already debated the injury and the impact that it has on Senegal. I think we knew that he would miss at least one game. It sounds like he's definitely going to miss the clash with the Dutch and may well miss another match as well. But Mike, I'm going to come to you for a quick reaction to this one. Do you think that this is potentially terminal to Senegal's chances, or do you think there's enough quality in that group for them to pull through, without Mane?
I'm looking at flights leaving the World Cup, Air Senegal from Qatar back to Dakar, because their chances are done, flatlined after this. If you look at their attack, Bamba Dieng is fishing for chips in the Mediterranean right now in Marseille, because he's not doing anything other than that. He's not playing games. He's not playing minutes. He was a main fixture for Marseille last season on the bench. You would have relied on Sadio Mane to be the main man regardless, but now it puts a lot of pressure on the likes of Bamba Dieng to come up with goals that he hasn't really had consistently for OM. Massive loss for Senegal. And also, that last game against Ecuador, that's the one. To have Sadio Mane back, we've seen World Cup stars plagued with injuries coming back for the last game of the group stages. It doesn't bode well in history.
And speaking of not boding well, I mean, we've seen a couple of kind of unsavory incidents. Obviously, the journalists and the personalities have started to arrive in Qatar ahead of the World Cup. We've already seen some Danish reporters getting themselves into a bit of difficulty, being asked to stop filming. I think Grant Wall as well, who's a friend of the show and has been on a couple of times, was also asked to delete footage of basically the advertisements dotted around Qatar. And there you got the footage of the Danish journalists being asked to stop filming. Nigel, I'm going to come to you because you were obviously on the podcast chat with Miguel Delaney, which we had the other day. Are you surprised by seeing this sort of thing, happening, or are you maybe surprised by how quickly this kind of incident has come about?
I'm not surprised at all. This is what happens when you give a nation that basically puts their religious principles first before anything else. You know, they've never had to host international guests at this level for the biggest sporting event in the world. This is the World Cup. So there's going to be so many things that they have not been prepared. They haven't really had the blueprint in how to handle certain situations and what's acceptable and what's not. So I'm not surprised that this happened. This is just the beginning. I feel there's going to be so much. And again, the social media has the power to be good and bad. And this is something, I think it's something part of the good, where people can see that this is what journalists and people have to deal with in a nation that's just not built and not used to host an event that welcomes the world to its through its front doors.
I've noticed on Twitter as well, there's been some suggestions of potentially a pardon towards those Danish journalists. So we'll keep an eye on that situation, but obviously not what you wanted to see days before the tournament gets underway. Now, speaking of the tournament, let's get into it. We are here, of course, to preview the final four groups, E, F, G, and H. So, Mike, let's get started. We're looking at Group E, Spain, Costa Rica, Oof. Germany, Japan. Let's go in that order and let's get your thoughts on the Spanish and Luis Enrique, because obviously he's turned a few heads with the squad selection that he's gone with ahead of this tournament.
Yeah, he's opted for youth over experience. No Marcos Alonso to a back line that there's question marks over. Unai Simón, I expect him to be the starter, although Kepa has made a good, well, previous to those three games as of late, was making a good statement for himself. But I expect Unai Simón to be the starter. The big thing with this Spain team, where are the goals coming from? Your midfielders aren't goal scorers. Koke is going to score goals? No. Our producer Des Norris, I'm talking about Koke. But Busquets, not a goal scorer. You think it got Gavi, Pedri, not goal scorers. They're creators. Alvaro Morata is who Spain's World Cup hopes are pent on. A player who has not been informed. Started the season well, but not been informed. A guy who I think could be a difference maker for them, who plays for PSG, Pablo Sabaria. I think he's a guy who, if you give him half a chance, he does produce, and I think Luis Enrique will be looking to him to fill a massive gap in the attack.
I think for me with Spain, like you said there, Mike, you pretty much covered it. The biggest problem with Spain in a nutshell is they don't have a goal scorer. They need a clinical goal scorer. That's what they've been lacking. I think with Luis Enrique, what he's gone for and what I personally feel is I think he's trying to do the Barcelona way. They're trying to play the same kind of system as Barcelona with the false nine and not really having a recognized striker. They've taken a big gamble. I think they're gambling on youth and going for the future. What also is worth mentioning is the fact of Luis Enrique is streaming his chats now, which literally destroys people like Jonathan as journalists.
The journos.
Whether Spain is
you,
going
you can,
to
you're
going to
be jumping on Nige. I've not known you on
no
that.
Chance. I'm
a TikToker or a Twitcher.
I'm a human being. If you're going to put yourself out there, put all of yourself out there, you've got to deal with journalists and stuff like that. I think that there is a bit of a cowardly way by Luis Enrique, and it just goes to show what type of person or manager he is, really. And for me, I think it's cowardly. You're a manager of a national team. You should be able to sit and take questions from journalists and not pick and choose which ones you do and trying to be down with the youth, which is why he's picking such a youthful squad. It's an experiment. But for me, goal scoring is a big problem for Spain. And that's why I see them not going all the way or going that far.
Well, Nigel Riococca, definitely somebody who's an expert on being in touch with the youth. And I have to say, to Mike's point, if you're relying on Pablo Sarabia to go to Qatar and score the goals for you that are going to take you to the knockout phase of a World Cup, I haven't seen him much so far this season in PSG colours, so I don't think that bodes particularly well. But speaking of work in progress, I kind of feel like Germany are at a similar stage to the Spanish. You look at that squad, and aside from the goalkeepers, there's not too many players in the group who are sort of over the age of 30. So this is definitely a core of players that Hansi Flick will probably try to build with, with an eye on future tournaments. Now, Nigel, I'm going to come to you first. What do you see when you're looking at this German group? Do you see a team that, could potentially, go deep in this tournament? Or is this one where they're going to get some experience this time around and perhaps be a threat in the next sort of Euros and then World Cup?
It's always hard to deny that Germany don't produce talent of the highest level. So I think for me, what they've got is a great experience, a mix of experience and youth. And I think, yes, they're planning for the future, but they are still a very dangerous side because they've got some great, exciting youth coming through. And at the same time, they're keeping an eye open. So they're doing, for me, I think, the right thing to do as a nation. And it's what the Germans have always done. They're using great common sense because they're still covered in every single angle, whether you talk about defense, midfield, and also the attacking end. And for me, the big player that everyone's always going to be talking about is Musiala. And I think for me, his young talent, he's probably one of the best young talents in world football. And he is fantastic to watch. And credit to the young lad. He turned his back on England and went to Germany, and Germany are using him and being forward thinking, because if he was in England, he probably won't be playing for the full national team. They'll probably still have him at England under 21s, which is why England is always falling behind. But I give credit to Germany and the German nation because they're always forward thinking and just using simple common sense. And that is why they are so consistent at that high level.
I have this German team going very far in this World Cup because there's an element of 2010 that comes to mind. 2010, a German team that was elderly going in, and then they revamp it with youth. You think of Manuel Neuer, who will be the captain for the German national team, Thomas Müller coming in, Mesut Özil, Sami Khedira. That 2009 under 21 national team, that became the core of the future. And I agree with what you said, Nigel, that this is a team that is being put together now so they can thrive in the future. That 2010 team set the foundation for the 2014 World Cup, where those young players became men in 4 years' time. I expect that with this German team. The thing that strikes my eye with this German team, the Bayern Munich core, in the words of our esteemed host, Ian Paul Joy, there's something wrong at Bayern. There's nothing wrong at Bayern. And I think there's nothing wrong with this German national team. The one thing that is a question mark is who is going to play striker? Thomas Müller, 10 goals in the World Cup, most goals of active players in the World Cup, 6 assists, most assists of active players in the World Cup. That experience is golden. It is going to filter down to the players, but do you start him as a striker, a position he hasn't been playing for club in quite some time because of Lewandowski, now Choupo-Moting, or do you start Kai Havertz at striker, a player who hasn't really hit form for Chelsea? Big question mark in that position.
You could also use the utility of Gnabry, but my quick thing I just wanted to add on that is, for me, what I like about Germany and what people listening need to understand is that Spain play beautiful football. The Germans play beautiful football, but they also can handle the physical side of the game. They can mix and match and play any style of football, which makes them so consistent and so dangerous. Spain, when it comes to the physicality of it, with the young players that they're taking, I don't think they can match the physical element of what they'll have to come up against when it's, whether it's Germany or whether you say the likes of Argentina or another very physically capable team. that can also play nice, intricate football. So that's why I give the Germans the edge over Spain when it comes to this group.
Well, yeah, efficiency is definitely the German mantra. And obviously, we know that somebody probably will fall foul of the Germans on penalties at some point during this tournament. But we'll move on from Germany for now. And we're going to take a look, actually, at Costa Rica next. Mike, I'm going to come to you first. Costa Rica, I mean, obviously, is the regional expert. Surely they're more than just Keylor Navas, because we've seen Costa Rica be a surprise package in World Cups gone by. And although, you know, you could perhaps argue that the core of the players who really impressed in those previous editions, you know, have now moved on, or, you know, is not as, you know, perhaps eligible to contribute as they were before, you know, could they still surprise people in this group, or do you see them getting an absolute tonking?
I think caps on tonking. And then some. This is a group I pick to come dead last in the group. A big struggle of theirs in CONCACAF in qualification was the ability to score goals away from home. When you're playing at home in CONCACAF, just like anywhere, but especially in CONCACAF, there's such an advantage. But when they go away from home, the goals dry up, and leaking goals has been a big issue of theirs. Expect them to show up in a back five, 5-4-1. When you do that, a player who is their midfield conductor but is getting old, Cecil Borges, if this was 4 years ago or 8 years ago, he was at the peak of his powers, plying his trade in La Liga. But I think this tournament is coming 4 years too late. Too many players still part of that core that have had success in regional tournaments in the Gold Cup and the World Cup. But I think a lot of their hopes will be pit on the former Arsenal man, Joel Campbell. But I just think it's going to be a struggle for him to get the right service. I think ciao for Costa Rica.
Listen, I think for me with Costa Rica, I'll keep it in a nutshell. Obviously, Michael is a lot more knowledgeable than I am, and Michael's knowledge is fantastic. I just think that Costa Rica, when I look at it, JJ and Michael, they always produce one or two superstars or one or two real top quality players, and then the rest of the team, it's a hard fit. And I think that's what we're going to see with this Costa Rica. We'll see one or two players have a fantastic World Cup, but when it comes to the World Cup, they're not strong enough as a whole team from back to front, which is why I have them finishing bottom of the group.
Yeah, that's some fair points there. And guys, keep your comments coming in. We do see them dropping in below. You know, not very much love for the Costa Ricans, but we'll move on to the final team in the group now. And potentially one of the surprise packages that I think a lot of people are going to be keeping an eye on. I can see Mike rubbing his hands together there with Glee. So here we are. We're going to talk about Samurai Blue, the Japanese national team. Now, Mike, you're obviously itching to go and throw in your $2 worth on this team. So what are you seeing in Japan that makes you confident that they might be able to spring a surprise?
If you're a betting man, you have them at plus 1400. Get that number up. I have them getting out of this group because of Spain's inability to score goals and Japan's ability to hit you on the counter. They will be one of the fittest teams, one of the hardest working teams. And here's why. They have players who have elevated themselves to play at some of the highest levels around Europe and the world. Starts with their goalkeeper, Kawashima, player you should be familiar with, JJ, Strasbourg goalkeeper, came in 2018, and part of a Strasbourg team that finished in the top six, top seven of Liga. Elder statesman, his experience in the back line, Tomiyasu for Arsenal. But when you go further up the field, Kamada for Frankfurt, he will be the ace of this team. Minamino, yes, he had the stint in Liverpool, didn't work out, now at Monaco. I think that relationship between he and Kamada, you also have Kubo, who's playing his trade at Real Sociedad, a player in form, enjoying life, former Real Madrid man. There's just a lot of excitement around this Japanese team. You know that they're going to be organized. You know that they're going to win games in any fat or manner possible to get out of the group. And I just think it's going to come down to that last game against Spain. I have them winning that game by one goal. I'm not going to tell you the exact predictions of how many goals are going to go in, but that's going to be the big swan song for Japan.
Michael always does that. He does that, and then I'm not going to tell you. Why mention it? Why mention it? Christ.
Okay, Nigel, I'll let you go.
Go on.
No, you go.
Michael's right. Michael, again, knows a lot of the players. I'd say for me, JJ, Michael, Japan is the dark horse. Japan is the one that can cause an upset in this group. I think that they've got a lot of good talent. Young players coming through, as Michael said. I think Kamara could be one of the main important players for Japan. They've also got a young player playing at Brighton. Can't remember his name.
Yeah.
I'm not as knowledgeable as you.
Matoma, the winger.
They are a dark horse. They are worth the bet because they're always, like you said, the fitness levels are ridiculous. They got great technical ability as well. I just think that overall, I would put Spain slightly ahead of them just because of the experience that Spain has, if that makes sense, overall in bigger tournaments and big occasions. But Japan can be a dark horse in this group and are worth a bet.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you guys. I do think the margin for error for both Germany and Spain, is pretty slim here, given that the Japanese, I can see them definitely picking up points against Costa Rica, and I can see them taking points off of one of Spain and Germany, probably Spain. I think Germany, for me, would be the favorites to finish top. But we're finishing with Group E. Message from Rod Guajardo. Great to see you on here, Mike Lahoud. We miss you in San Antonio. Always love getting some fan interaction with our experts. So Mike, they're enjoying
who do you pay the, for that work?
Rod's actually my next door neighbor here. No, just kidding. Now thank you very much for the kind message, and congratulations to San Antonio FC, USL champions, crowned only a couple days ago.
Fantastic stuff. Well, let's move on to Group F now, and I'm really keen to sink our teeth into this. I'm going to come to you first, Nige, because I'm just going to put it out there. My team that I fancy the most to struggle at this World Cup, aside from Portugal, is Belgium. What do you think of that?
I don't think so. I think the biggest reality of Belgium is the back four hasn't really evolved. The back four is the problem of Belgium. Everyone knows it. It's too old. They haven't really developed good enough defenders throughout the ranks. But with the quality with KDB, and I think Hazard is actually going to be on one, as we say. I think Hazard is going to have a point to prove in this World Cup.
He's got to play for his move to Villa.
That tunnel vision that he's going to have in this World Cup. I still see them being able to do it. I still see them being able to be compact enough, well-organized enough to get something. Obviously, again, it depends a lot. Depends on whether Lukaku can be fully fit and be part of this team. But they do have talent. They really do have talent. And I think in that group, they really should get out. Yes, defensively, they're not as strong. I think Croatia, for me, are the strongest team in this group. But you do expect Belgium to be the nearly boys again. Get out the group, and then that's about as far as they'll get.
Yeah, I look at the talent. And JJ, you mentioned a player who I'm really excited about, Trossard at Brighton. There's just a wealth of talent. Dendonker as well, Villa shout, as customary on this show with JJ and NRC. There's just a wealth of talent that when you need someone to get you out of a pickle, you just go to the bench. You look down the bench and you pick a name. The big talking points, Eden Hazard, his form, his lack of form, his lack of fitness, that will, I think, ultimately deny them of a World Cup championship crown. But Romelu Lukaku will be fit. I think that's been a big reason why he hasn't played as many games. I know the quad injury has been hindering a bit, but I think purposely as a player, when you have the World Cup around the corner, you have your eye on the biggest thing you prioritize, which is the World Cup over club football. I think he will be fit and he will thrive under the service of Kevin De Bruyne, arguably the best midfielder in the world.
Debatable.
That's why I said arguably. Fede Valverde, who we will talk about, is in that conversation. But there's too many weapons for this Belgium team. Defensively, the question mark I have is how many goals can they really put a stopgap in some of the goals they've given up? In the Nations League, they've given up more goals than I've ever seen them give up in the last 8 years. I expect them in this group to have high-scoring games. They're a team that will thrive off of beating you 3-2 than if it's 1-0 affair.
Yeah, I mean, it's there's a lot of interesting points to this Belgian debate moving into the tournament. I also saw that Jason Denayer has been called up as well to the squad. You know, I think there's potentially some concern over Vertonghen's fitness. And that, again, just goes to show, you know, that there are these concerns over the age, certainly in terms of the defense. And it does feel like it's going to be a busy tournament for Thibaut Courtois as well. Now we're going to move on. And I'm delighted to actually move the chat on to Canada, because I've seen that there's a lot of love for them already in the comments that have been coming in. Matt Osmond, was saying just a moment ago, you know, come on Team Canada. Now I'm going to be dropping a piece later this week of the sort of dark horses to look for in each group. And I'm going for Canada in this group because I feel that they could spring a surprise and actually end up finishing second. Now, Mike is nodding his head. Am I right in feeling that you agree with me?
Yeah, I was just thinking we have someone on this show co-host who I think that's his second national team just by experience, Mr. Nigel Coker. Nigel, before I go, do you want to add anything to Canada?
What? Jesus Christ. No, I think for me, like Mike, I think one of the comments was that Canada could be the Iceland of this tournament, which is so true. I think what I like about Canada is how they've gone about it. You know, they've really gone out there. They've improved their scouting network, and they've gone to inner city Canada itself and got these talent. These kids are fearless. They've done fantastically well. And let's be real, when it comes to when you talk about opportunities and also facilities, there's no way Canada should really be the top of the CONCACAF, as they have dominated more so than America. I spoke to one of the young lads in the team, Sam Anakubi, a young boy that I know from playing at the Whitecaps, took under my wing. Hopefully we'll get him on the pod. I know they're playing against Japan in a friendly tomorrow. Top kid, great attitude. I think all the Canadian kids have a great attitude. I think my thing with the Canada thing is, yes, they are dark horses in this group. The biggest thing for me is it's the messaging that's going to come from the manager and the coaches. They've really got to go into this tournament with no fear and an attitude to say that no one expects anything from us, but how great would that be when we prove people wrong? And it's not letting the World Cup occasion get the best of them, where they're too busy soaking up the atmosphere and soaking up the World Cup. They're not realizing they're here to perform. So it's not letting the moment get the better of them. But I think that they could be a big dark horse in this group. But it's all about messaging and attitude of the players.
Oh, fighting talk there from Nathan John. Canada going to Qatar to play football. You won't see them parking the bus against anyone. Well, we'll hope not. Now, Mike, I'm going to put you on the spot with a question quickly, and then obviously you can chime in with your thoughts on Canada as well. Jonathan David, born in the USA, but representing Canada. How big a miss is that for the USMNT? And surely he would walk into that, you know, American setup. And you look at the sort of dearth of reliable attacking options in that side at the moment. You know, surely that is a big miss. We all know how good Alphonso Davies is, but you know, for Jonathan David to have slipped through the net, surely that is a pretty big gaffe as far as they go.
It's part of the problem for U.S. soccer at the moment is the lack of investment in youth, and the academy system and things have come a long way from when I stopped playing and when I started even playing from my club career. But you should never allow a player, you know, you look throughout the UK, you look throughout places around the world, even Paris, there is a scouting network that players do not let. They just don't slip through the cracks like that. A player of his quality. And you look at the massive gap in attack at the striker position. The number nine position has been a talking point and a big question mark for the USMNT. And look, the US national team not doing their job in scouting a player like that and setting the mechanisms to make sure a player like that doesn't slip through the cracks is Canada's gain. For Canada, this guy was one of the heroes of their World Cup campaign. And I love that you gave Adekugbe a shout, Nige. I love this kid. Scored a massive goal in the game that got them to qualification to Qatar. Love him. As I think he plays as a left wing back, has ton of pace, can get on up and down both sides of the ball. The job that John Herdman has done, let's touch on him. Herdman coached the women's national team, had success there, coaching the men's national team, having success. To be able to do both, to change from the men's to the women's game, back and forth, that is a skill in itself. The one commonality that I see, he's a unifier. He's a motivator. He brings that nationalistic sense of pride of what it is to be Canada. And I think that nationalism is something to keep an eye on because these players, they're young, but a lot of these players are playing at a high level. Eustáquio plays at FC Porto. Players are making moves to put themselves in the best possible situation to have the best club experience to thrive at the World Cup.
Oh, we're going to move this along a bit, but you know, great to hear both of your thoughts on Canada. Now we're going to turn our attention to Croatia. Now, Croatia kind of feel like they're in a similar boat to Belgium in a way, where some of their key players, you know, might have had their best years behind them, but they always seem to dig it out in these international tournaments. Nigel, are you expecting Canada, Croatia to win this group with ease, or do you think it's going to be a question of trying to finish second behind Belgium?
I think it's the quality aspect of Croatia. I'm expecting them to win it because they're a good team from front to back, as always. You talk about a team element, but they have quality on the pitch. And it's not just about work rate, running hard and all that. There's the balance that comes with it, JJ. And when you look at Croatia, they got so much experience. but they've got quality to punish you in the right moments. They're going to be well organized, as they always are, defensively hard to break down, but they've got also a great attacking element, and they are a very well balanced team. And I look at them to win that group because of the quality and the experience that they have.
Well, obviously, they'll be hoping that Luka Modric turns the clock back once more. They did win, as was pointed out in one of the comments in their friendly against Saudi Arabia. Now, Mike, final team in the group, Morocco. I don't think any of us are in any doubt about the potential of this squad, but are they going to get it together? Could they potentially pull off a shock, or do you feel like there's just going to be too many of the same old issues that come back and bite them?
I think same old issues. You've had infighting leading up to this World Cup between the manager and Hakim Ziyech, a player who isn't getting minutes for Chelsea and is miserable right now. Could be his revenge game against some of these teams, a player who has the quality. Hakimi, he is the talisman of this team, but he's a guy who's not a captain material. He's not a leader. He's still quite young. I just think this 3-4-3 formation that they play leaves them very vulnerable on the counter. And I see them leaking goals in this World Cup and finishing last.
I think there's been, you know, some consistency issues as well. Hakimi's certainly been questioned for his PSG form. But interesting, you do have Morocco's keeper, you know, who was born in Canada. So, you know, there's going to be a little bit of, you know, needle there as well. And I think goalkeepers, especially in this group, seem like they're going to come up, you know, fairly big. So, guys, let's head off for a break and then we'll be back to discuss the other two groups after that.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, guys, welcome back to House of Champions. If you're an American soccer fan that follows the Stars and Stripes, then make sure to check out another great pod in the CBS Sports podcast family. In Soccer We Trust, former USMNT stars Jimmy Conrad, Heath Pierce, and Charlie Davies are previewing and reacting to every US match with a perspective that only they can offer. So download and subscribe to the In Soccer We Trust podcast anywhere that you can find this one. And we're with their number one subscriber, Nigel Reed. Coca. So Nigel, I'm going to come to you first. We're moving on to Group G now. And obviously everybody wants to talk about Brazil. They're one of the strong favorites going into this tournament. For you, are they your number one pick?
Hell yeah. It's just common sense. I'm sorry. Listen, I've said it before and I'll say it again. When you look at Brazil, when we all used to watch football, we used to talk about one or two players always used to come out of Brazil to become superstars in Europe and superstars in world football. This is the first time Brazil where you can name and look at the entire team from back to front that they are stacked. Not just one player in each position, but literally three players. Brazil could put out three teams in this World Cup that you would expect to get at least to the semifinals. That's how good it is. I think the eye-opener, what people should pay attention to with Brazil is they've gone with nine attackers. Let that be known that they've come here to score goals and take this World Cup by storm. Again, you might call it common sense or good management or a manager who knows what he's doing. It's a World Cup. You need to come on form. JJ, you can account to how determined and tunneled vision Neymar has been, where you expect him to have a real good, scary World Cup. But they're coming here to score goals. They are just going to say, we're going to score more goals than you, which is the Brazil that I grow up watching and knowing about. They are still capable defensively. You know, Thiago Silva's had a fantastic time for me at Chelsea. I think he's such a top-class defender. He doesn't really have the athleticism that you need in the modern game, but he doesn't because he reads the game so well. And when you have a player of that experience, you put a good, young, hungry centre-back next to him, you'll be in good shape. Decent full-backs who are going to get forward. I think for me, Brazil definitely are the favourites for this World Cup. and there's no hanky panky in Qatar, so they're going to be very well focused.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. They are scary good. You look at the lineup, you look at any which lineup they put on the table, and it's oh, mayday, call the cops, because you're going to need any protection that you can get. I struggle with a Brazil team that, when we have this sort of hype around them, as they've earned number one ranked team in the world right now, rightfully so, there's always one game that gives them fits, and it happens around the quarterfinals. There's always one game where the strikers they're misfiring a bit. It's physical, it's chippy, the referee's against them. And I think it's going to come down to that. If they can get over that quarterfinal hump. In 2002, England, that was their game. 2010, the Netherlands, that was their game. They beat England against all odds because they had a red card.
What? This is not the Brazil of old. This is not a Brazil that's heavily reliant on the legend of Ronaldo and just a number nine striker. You've seen what Rafinha's been doing at Barcelona. You've seen what Anthony has the capability of doing. You see what Neymar does. You've got Vinicius Jr. There isn't one element of danger of they have a classic number nine. No, this Brazil has four or five players that can score goals. I think that for me, like you said, when you talk about this Brazil team and this Argentina team, Latin American clubs are very focused to break the dominance of European clubs winning the World Cup. I'm telling you, there's a different hunger and a different desire from Brazil and Argentina. And let's not forget, Uruguay is a dark horse. But yeah, no.
Some interesting points now. I'll put it out to the listeners. Do you guys agree? Do you agree with Nige and Mike that they are arguably the favorites going into this?
Mike doesn't think they're the favorites, AJ.
I don't think they're going to win. But let's see.
It's interesting because I was actually getting to my point, because in my predictions, I have them getting to the semifinals, coming up against Lionel Messi's Argentina and losing on penalties.
Hold on, wait. So JJ, let's have a bit of fun this, right? If Brazil win the World Cup...
There's nothing's ever fun with you, Nudge.
If it is, but if Brazil wins the World Cup, for two shows, one, he's going to wear an England shirt, and then two, he's going to wear a Liverpool shirt.
Oh, jeez, yeah, man.
If Brazil wins the World Cup, so confident.
If Brazil win the World Cup, you have an air shake on that.
Does Nige have to do something if the USMNT gets out of the group?
Gosh, if the USMNT get out of the group, he'll have to wear a custom-made Christian Pulisic shirt.
All right. Well, we'll make sure that the producer Dez gets onto accounts and has that worked up immediately. Right. So now moving on from one extremely talented squad to another, and one that could be a potential dark horse in this group as well, Serbia. I'm going to come to you first, Mike. Are you feeling high on Serbia? Because I think whenever I've seen people discussing who they think are going to get out of the group stages, either people are really down on Serbia, saying all the same old problems are going to trip them up, and you know they're going to have a talented squad of individuals, but that they're not going to be able to get it together on the pitch. And some other people saying, no, you know, this is a new Serbian side that we're seeing, that we saw in qualification. They're going to get out of the group and potentially do some damage in the knockout phase as well. Where are you sitting on that?
I see them getting out of the group, because to get out of the group, you have to have players within your team, your star players, in form at the perfect time. And you look at their attack, start at their midfield, Milinkovic-Savic, and I'm going to stay away from Lazio because I curse them every time I mention their team name, but not this player. He's leading Serie A in assists. Dusan Tadic, captain of the team, has been a world beater for Ajax in the last three seasons. They're going to be supplying.
Not looking too good this season, though.
No. Well, because not the right manager. He's going to get the sack. We'll talk about
same,
him.
Same goes for Vlahovic, though, as well.
You have Mitrovic, though. Vlahovic is a different player. The Serbian national team has been his outlet. What he hasn't been doing at Juve, he's been doing for the Serbian national team. So it's going to be a bit of a respite. When you're a player and you're having a miserable time at the club level, going to your national team, it's like a cold drink of water in the desert when you're with your club team. I think you're going to see a different Vlahovic. I think he and Mitrovic, they combine well. They play off of each other. Vlahovic is a player who likes to make runs in behind. Mitrovic is your hold-up target guy. Good balance. And when you have two passers who can thread the needle to two strikers, I like this Serbia team, and they have some good young defenders who are highly touted in Europe. I think there's more credit that needs to be given to this Serbia team. They topped the group against a good Portuguese side. Do you have to give them respect?
JJ, respect given, Mike. I give Serbia respect. I think they can definitely be a dark horse in this group. But again, like people said, they've got great talented individuals. Whether they can put it together as a team, that's the problem. If they can put it together as a team, they can definitely cause some problems. But that is why I favor Switzerland over Serbia, because I feel that Switzerland are well more lubricated team dynamic. They've probably they've got greater experience
in attack. In tournaments. In attack, they have the lubricated in attack.
Don't worry
where are the goals
about
coming from for Switzerland?
There's more than one way to win a football match, Mike. You could
Mbolo is not doing badly for Monaco.
You talk about attack. You talk about Vlahovic, who ain't really been doing anything.
But he's been scoring for the Serbian national team, though. He has been
great individually. Can they put it together as a team? If they can, they'll be a threat. If they don't, and it's the same old Serbia, I still have Switzerland above them.
But this is the Switzerland that was an issue, that was a problem for European champions. Italy in qualification. They also dumped France out of the Euros. It's, you know, they're no mugs at international level.
Yeah, that's, you know, I'm trying to find something different to talk about, because every time you root against the Swiss, they get out of the group. They get what? Got out of the group with the last three out of the last four World Cups, if I'm not
just
mistaken.
Against just now
I
again.
No, because I'm looking at the goals. You have Shaqiri, who's playing his trade in Major League Soccer, hasn't been on the score sheet.
All veering into dangerous territory, Mike. You need to say something positive.
Oh, boy. It's happening again. It's happening. You know I love my MLS. I always give them a shout. It has no bearing on the league he's playing in, but I think you're putting a lot of onus on a player who's getting older, who hasn't really been on the score sheet for your national team. In midfield, that midfield three, Granit Xhaka, Remafroyla, and Jabril Sow. That's where your strength of this team lies. And Bolo is getting goals in attack, but not consistently. And I think in this group, getting goals is going to be the difference. And for a Swiss team, they're defensively going to be sound. Fabian Schär for Newcastle, another shout, player who's having the season of his life in the Premier League right now. So many national teams he could walk into and make a difference with the form he's in. Not Brazil, not saying that, Nige. I see that eyebrow going up. But a lot of national teams he could do it. This Swiss team is going to be more difficult to break down, but I just wonder where the goals are going to come from. Is it going to be from midfield? I think ultimately set pieces is going to be their biggest strength in this group.
All right, exactly. Tying up.
Pushing on now. Remember, he pushes forward a lot more for Arsenal, and I'm sure they'll apply the same form that he's in Arsenal for this Swiss team. Getting forward, getting into the box, late runs.
Tying a bow on this, because we do have one more group to get through. Nigel, any chance at all for Cameroon in this group?
I think it's a difficult one, man. I think when you look at that, the African nations, for me, I think Senegal is probably the most stacked with the most talent. I think Cameroon's done well to make it to the World Cup, but it's a big, big ask when you look at that group and the talent and the squad they're going to come up against. Again, a lot of it is down to messaging. And also there's a big difference when, I think Mike can add to this, I've said it before quickly, when it comes to African nations, there's that kind of mentality of players become a lot more selfish because they're trying to play for moves. If they play for the team and get out of that selfish mode and realize they can be successful together, then African nations will strive and do very well, because a lot of these players are not in European clubs playing a big club. So the ones that come into these type of situations, they're trying to put themselves on the shop window without realizing they're letting themselves down and the nation down by not getting a lot more togetherness in a team dynamic.
Yeah. Well, interest.
Right, go, JJ. No, go. Okay, well, I'll be selfish. I'll go. I think I feel for these African teams, and I agree with what you're saying. We've seen that in the past, Nige, with what's happened in World Cups, the infighting, the calamity in the dressing room, the difficulty of groups that the African teams have been placed in. I just feel for them. And that's down to the FIFA world ranking coefficients. It needs to be reassessed. I think African teams are better than world rankings give them. I think some European teams have benefited significantly from the biases. That's why we have African teams, all of them, in difficult groups. This Cameroon team, their attack is where their strength lies. Carl Toko Ekambi hasn't been the stuff of legends for Lyon. And JJ, you and I talked about this, but with his national team, he scored the goal to take them to Qatar. He's a good player. He was one of the stars of AFCON in midfield. Anguissa for Napoli, your guy, Anguissa for your team, Nige. He is a player to watch. For Napoli, he plays more of a box-to-box role. For Cameroon, he's going to be the defensive midfielder. Not enough depth in midfield for Cameroon to thrive. Onana will have to have the World Cup of his life to save shot stop and really produce some of the form we've seen he's had at Inter Milan in Serie A as of late for Cameroon to have any chance of getting out. I just don't think they'll have enough in the end.
And don't forget, they've got Choupo-Moting, Eric-Maxime Choupo-Moting as well. Obviously, the star man in attack who's really finding form at the moment. Final group then, Group H. And I'm glad that we sort of touched on the theme of selfishness and self-centeredness, because obviously you have the debate raging around Cristiano Ronaldo with Portugal at this moment in time. Let's look at Portugal and Uruguay together. For me, I feel that Uruguay are going to top this group. I think Portugal are going to scrape through by the skin of their teeth. Nigel, you laughing, you disagreeing with me. Is this what CR7 needed ahead of the tournament?
I thoroughly agree with you. I think Uruguay would do it. And for a certain degree, I hope Portugal don't do it because of a certain selfish person. But anyway, we'll go into that another day. I think for me, again, it's Uruguay is a talented team and they're big, big dark horses in this tournament because a lot of people are not really too well aware of Uruguay, but the talent that they possess there. And for me, a man on form where I think he's the world's best midfielder, Valverde, right now at Real Madrid, is just something special. And Uruguay has always done well in World Cup. Great teams produce phenomenal, talented football players. I look at this team, I look at this group. Portugal is Portugal. They've been very underwhelming recently. No Jota, even in the World Cup. Ronaldo hasn't really played. He's not fit. He's not the same Ronaldo. It's too self-centered. And I think there's a bit of a fear factor from the manager there to really drop Ronaldo because of all setting history and, you know, stats and whatever it is. That's all he cares about. Ghana, yes, good team. Difficult group they're in. South Korea, dark horses.
Ooh,
South Korea,
yes.
Very similar like Japan. Dark horses, South Korea. Could cause an upset.
Son back in training with his facial mask on, and we all know that he's their talisman.
Yeah, I think for me, when you look at South Korea, JJ and Mike, when you look at South Korea and Japan, they are very, very fit teams. Very, very good technically. And they can spring a surprise in this World Cup just because the coaching has improved tremendously throughout the years in that region. They've hired great coaches, great managers, and they really do have a Western or European kind of mindset in how they play football. But they can definitely cause an upset in there. But for me, like I said, I can see Uruguay winning that group. Portugal just about getting the job done with the skin of their nose. And obviously, again, it all depends on how the players in Portugal feel about Cristiano Ronaldo because of what he's done. And people have to remember, he's done that at Manchester United. But then you're going to start thinking to yourself as a player in that Portuguese dressing room now, I wonder what he thinks about me or I wonder what he says about me. Because if he'll do that to his teammates at Manchester United, what will he do to us? And we saw a little bit of video on social media of a friction between him and Cancelo as well, which looks like that could be something very serious. And obviously, Manchester United teammates are going to be looking at their captain, Bruno Fernandes, embracing him at the national team level. And then you're coming back to play at Manchester United and you're our captain, but siding with someone who literally just disrespected your whole squad. But that's me and the whole squad and group. Mike, the floor is yours.
Yes. Oh, man, I'm just chomping at the bit to smash CR7. And I'm just going to put one line about United. Get him out of United. Get him out of this Portuguese. Now, you can't get him out of Portugal. He is just a legend for the Portuguese national team. In fighting ahead of the World Cup, friction and tension ahead of the World Cup, it just spells pending disaster and doom. Those odds of Portugal being the favorite or one of the favorites in the group or of the tournament, they're going to go the opposite way because that becomes the biggest distraction. You have the captain, you have one of the all-time leading goal scorers in the entire game who has taken this event, the world's game, the world's event every 4 years where it's a unifying, this Portuguese team that has seemed unified over the last 8 years, won Euros because they were unified. They are now split up because CR7 made it all about himself. The moment he went on camera and did that, the biggest group that was going to hurt from that was not Manchester United. He's already on the outs. It was the Portuguese national team, because now the media is going to be watching everything they do. If they win 2-1, there's something not right about Portugal. Every conversation is going to be surrounding the negativity of CR7. And I think that's why I have them getting third in the group. I don't even have them getting out of the group, because that is toxic. The best team in this group is Uruguay. They have, as you said, Fede Valverde, who's playing the football of his life. Cavani scores goals at the World Cup. He's already scored a couple goals since his move to Valencia. He shows up at the World Cup. Darwin Nunez, he could be tipped to be one of the breakout stars, getting goals right before the World Cup. He's going to get that feel-good feeling again. You could play him alongside Luis Suarez, who a lot of drama, a lot of tension in that matchup, one to circle, Uruguay versus Ghana, the ghost of 2010. That's going to be a red card affair, emotionally charged atmosphere when those two get together. Uruguay is going to win this group. I think Bentancur, one of the unsung heroes for Tottenham, that combination between he and Valverde, they can cover every blade of grass. And oh yeah, they can play too. I just think Uruguay, that 4-4-2 they play, two banks of four, is going to be too hard to break down, and they have the quality in the final third. The surprise pick that I have in this group, South Korea. South Korea, baby. I'm going for broke. Son Heung-min coming back, the mask marauder. You already seen a player in Victor Osimhen who wears a mask. Maybe he's taking a page out of his book, where keep the mask on. I know it's for his health reasons, but just trying to have a little fun here. But I think Son coming back is a massive lift for this South Korea team. But they have talent as well. Hwang, who plays for Wolves, he's going to be in attack. I think some of their role players, if they can get a bit more breakout performances, you know that they're going to be solid. They showed that in that game against Germany 4 years ago. If they can be solid and then a couple of their attackers really spring out and help support Song, I have them getting out of the group.
Some very interesting points there, and I'm glad that Mike touched on South Korea there. So yeah, just from me to finish it, I guess in this group, it's really, really difficult to call who is going to be getting out. I feel that Uruguay are definitely my favorites to top the group. I have Portugal getting through by the skin of their teeth, and that I tell you that they get through with 3 points, being unbeaten but with no wins. That's how I've predicted that they get out of this group. I feel it's going to be extremely tight. I'm curious to see how it all plays out, but just my 2 cents on Cristiano Ronaldo, I think the situation has gone far too far. It doesn't surprise me that the hard line stance that Erik ten Hag seems to be taking, and I think that United cannot wait until the end of this tournament to try and take care of things. I mean, the latest reports have been that United are looking into it and exploring their legal options. Doesn't surprise me at all. And to be honest, it wouldn't surprise me if Ronaldo ends up leaving Europe after this World Cup. I don't think it's going to be a particularly memorable tournament for him. And I think he is eventually going to have to come home and face the music. But that's all we've got time for. Thank you so much for tuning in, joining us on House of Champions. As always, thanks so much for listening. Please take a minute to leave a rating and review on your favorite podcast platform, or on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, anywhere that you listen to your podcast. We're also available as video, so subscribe to us on YouTube as well. Unfortunately for Nigel Riococca, stealing Ian Pourjoy's line there. Thanks a lot for tuning in, guys, and we will see you next time.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.